I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for September 5th, 2018 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capelini, here. Mr. Frye.
Here.
Mr. Tanum.
Here.
Mrs. Hoffman.
Here.
Mr. Ruskin.
Here.
Mr. Richardson.
Here.
Mrs. Wessel.
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. We welcome all of you to our City Council chambers this evening. We do have three students from Notre Dame Academy here. Welcome. If you have any questions during the course of the meeting, please raise your hand and I'll recognize you and try to answer the question as soon as I can. You were just treated to a safety committee meeting. You saw the end of it. That's where a lot of business takes place, in committees, not necessarily in open council, but in the committee structure. And that was a big committee meeting tonight. I invite all of you to join us for our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mr. Frye.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda for this evening. I have a couple of informational items that I'll just talk about when we get to the end, but I've got two informational items. Also, I distributed to council a gift card from Chick-fil-A. That is because the city of Sylvania was recognized as a community partner at today's Chamber of Commerce meeting. Mrs. Westfall was representing City Council at that, and we were very well spoken of for all the things we do to help our community grow. There were good things said, not just about the downtown, but about the neighborhoods and the quality of life in the entire community. And I very much appreciate the chamber recognizing us. And I'm sure they'll be part of our budgeting process in the fall as well. But they are an important community partner. There is no doubt about it. And wanted to make sure you all knew that we were treated very nicely today. Mrs. Westfall, any additions to the agenda?
Nothing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council. Seeing none, Mr. Sanford.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mrs. Brining.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Then I'll accept a motion to approve the agenda as amended, only amended by, I'm going to have two informational quick discussions for you at the end.
So moved.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries, and the agenda for this evening's meeting has been set. Agenda item 4 is approval of the council meetings from our last meeting on August the 20th. Mr. Hanum. No, well, Mrs. Capelini. Mrs. Capelini. I'm sorry, I got your name on here right. Mrs. Capelini.
So I move that we accept the minutes from August 20th, 2018. Second.
Been moved and accepted to approve the council meeting minutes from August 20th, 2018 as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved. Agenda item 5, we are very happy to have the Hudsons here tonight representing the Hudson Gallery. As you know, they celebrated their 10th anniversary last month being in business. I was unable to attend, and they have graciously come to our City Council meeting tonight to let me extend a proclamation to you recognizing all that you have done for our community and our downtown. So I'm going to come down there. If you join me at the podium, I would appreciate it.
Shop on Monroe Street.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to agenda item six, we have Rick Arnos with us today, representing Republic, company that is working on the SOMO development. We have set this up as an executive session concerning discussion and sale of real estate, but city council should lead this. Maybe Mrs. Hussman, you're building and grounds, or I know, Mr. Hanum, you've expressed some opinions on how this should go tonight, but I am not going to set the precedent, but I know some of this should be discussed in executive session.
I would like to hear Rick in as part of our public meeting, and then I think council should have an executive session with legal counsel. That's how I would propose we go forward.
Are you suggesting that we wouldn't have Rick be in executive
session? Absolutely. He would not be part of the executive session.
Could he be called in if we had a question during executive session to respond?
Conceivably, but I think we need an opportunity to confer among ourselves.
But no question about that, but I, having not any sense at all about what the discussion is going to be tonight, I want to make sure that we don't make him available to us if we need to.
And I know Rick has some time some travel constraints as well this evening. So I think we ought to hear from Rick, and to the extent he's available, at the end of his presentation, we can ask questions as we think appropriate, and then I think we need to confer with among ourselves with legal counsel. Yeah.
Also comfortable with that? Mr. Arnos, are you willing to answer the questions here in public meetings? No. Rick Arnos is Republic Development. Just maybe as a quick overview where we are, the city of Savannah is doing great work with, and you might recall, just to give you a quick update, I think it was in probably early mid-June that we finally got all of our approvals for the SOMO. And we had to go through that entire process until we had construction plans that we could put out to all of the contractors to get their bids. And when we did that, we gave them about 30 days, and when those came back in early to mid-July, unfortunately, the numbers came back considerably higher than what we had budgeted, to the tune of about 16% higher, which is multiple millions of dollars higher. We have all of our funding in place, we have all of the bank loans in place, we've got all of our approvals, but it's put a hold on the project from our perspective of being able to move forward until we can figure out how we can work through this new reality. And I'll just give one snippet of an example of what's transpired. In when you measure lumber, you go out and buy lumber, usually in board feet, it's 1,100 board feet. The board could 1 foot wide, 1 inch thick, and however many feet you have, 1,100 board feet. Historically, it sold around $200 to $300 a board for that contract, 1,100 board feet. In May, late May of this year, just about the time that we went out with our bids, it spiked to 650. So historically, it's been in the two to three. Mayor sort of smiling because he understands this. So that, and a lot of that had to do with hurricane and what other reasons that we're drawing lumber. So at the time that we were going out to get our lumber package, which was one of the numbers that really trend is good right now. And so what are we doing? At this point, we're really attacking it from three directions. One, we're going after contractors, and not just contractors here, contractors in southern Michigan, and we're also going to contractors in the Indianapolis area. When you look at the cost of construction, and assuming that the mean is 100, the cost of construction in Indianapolis is about 91. The cost of construction in the Toledo area is about 96. So when we priced this project off Indianapolis, we added that 5% to what we thought would be the additional cost here. And again, we came in 16% above that budget. So we're going back to a broader array of contractors at this point as a first step. It may mean that we would import lumber from outside the area. Maybe we would another area that was a significant bust was in HVAC, fire suppression, electrical. So we're looking at those contractors. We're getting comparable contractor bids in the Indianapolis area and using those as comparables for work here. I will add that we have been pricing two other projects that we're working on, not multifamily projects, but retail projects in the Indianapolis area. And we priced both of those in January of this year. Those projects have not started. And we have recently, in the last 30 days, have received letters from our general contractor indicating that in one case, prices have gone up 13%, and in another case, I think they've gone up 8%. This is in Indianapolis County. So the first is to go back and work the contractor. The second is to re-underwrite, and what that means is that we do a regression analysis where we look at what the rents are in the area. We're at a reasonably high level of the rents. We're still within the regression analysis. We think that we have some room to move rents up a little bit, and in doing that, that will allow, when you underwrite it, it will allow a little bit more in terms of loan that we can get to help finance the project. And third prong is to look at putting additional equity into the project. And of course, when you put additional equity into a project, it lowers the return. All other factors are equal. And I've spoken with a couple of council members and indicated that this project is very near and dear to me personally. I grew up in this area. You all have spent an enormous amount of time helping bring us along. I believe in the core of my bones that this is absolutely will be right thing and a fabulous thing for the city, and I'm working very hard to make sure that it's something, assuming with your acquiescence and approval, that this is something that we could bring to the city. Of late, we have had some, and this is real late, hot off the press, we have had some, I just talked to John Hart this afternoon, we have had some good indications, particularly in the lumber area, with pricing is actually pretty attractive. Those numbers have been coming down, and we're starting to feel that a little bit. And John was quite a bit more optimistic today on the phone call. We've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of investment in this project to date, and so we're very keen on, again, with your understanding. So timing-wise, what we believe at this point, in order to go through this process, what we have to do now is we think it's going to take us another 30 days to go through the contractor process. understand this very well. We may even, you know, we're using different techniques in trying to work through those numbers. And then we will have the underwriting process. So we're, what we've been asking, I think Ms. Brennan has the request, we're asking for 60 days to be able to complete this process and get our costs in line and be able to proceed with it, to know whether we're going to be able to proceed with this project. That's the end of the report. Are there any questions?
I can commiserate with you.
Thank you.
That
is difficult to build a project or to bid a project starting in June when every contractor in town has more work than he knows what to do with. And you throw in the material price increases and rising interest rates, it's difficult. So I thank you for your efforts to get the project back into a financial position that you can move ahead with it. I certainly understand what you've gone through. I've had to face that in some of my projects that just didn't time out right, and it's difficult. But if the project's right, you find a way. And if you get your material costs down, it'll look a whole lot better. Lucas County is a labor county. That's why it's 5% higher than Indianapolis. I assume, I don't know the Indianapolis market at all. But we're very expensive for the Midwest. No doubt about it.
Thank you for that. Yeah. It's interesting that you, one of the comments that you made on the project that was, the other project that I mentioned in Indianapolis, that was 13% of the cost that came in from January to now. The general contractor did indicate, he said, we would encourage you to wait until January to rebid this. They foresaw that they just as the mayor articulated there, the contractors are extremely busy right now. 2008 wiped out a lot of them, and there's just a lot of activity, but the thing's too slow seasonally, and his recommendation was to wait to that's not what we're doing with
yeah.
the solar project.
Do we have an opportunity to comment? Yeah. I'm just back from being gone for a couple of weeks, so this is all sort of new to me, but in kind of an asked and answered conversation we just had, Rick, I asked you if you had any conversation within your organization or with the city about looking for some financing help from our Port Authority. I have, after having run a business for 35 years, I've come to believe that you can't save your way to prosperity, right? You can get your costs down a little bit, but what you really need to do is fundamentally change the financing proposition, right? And my experience is that companies frequently derive substantial benefits from the cost of financing, from the cost of tax burden on the projects by working through some of the instruments that are available through the Ohio Port Authority Act. And you indicated that you have not done that, and I don't know that whether our team has suggested that or not, Mayor, but my understanding is that port authorities routinely will finance not just commercial projects, but also residential projects. They can provide substantial relief in recovering the cost of assembling parcels, which would give the city of Sylvania some relief. There are substantial savings in various infrastructure elements of projects, both above and below the ground. There's some savings on materials from the standpoint of eliminating the sales tax on the purchase of materials. So I certainly encourage you, I mean, what you're asking is the 60 days, and that's fine with me, but I would be not, I would be much sunnier about that if we got some sense that either you or you in the city could go and talk to a port authority, not necessarily the one in Lucas County. You know, the Ohio Port Authority Act allows any port authority in Ohio to finance any project. So, for example, the Lucas County Port Authority just financed the new, I believe it's a Hyatt Hotel over in Crocker Park in Cleveland. And find out whether you might be able to get some relief, not just on the cost of material side and the contractor side, but also on the financing side. There are some very ingenious mechanisms that they seem to have, including, by the way, deferring the cost of the acquisition of property that might help your situation. So I'm now talking about things that I really am not experienced to talk about, but I would hope that the city would allow you to proceed with that and see if you could find some relief in that regard as well.
Thank you for that. And I think that would be very helpful. Is there any kind of political challenge with talking with the Lucas County Port Authority versus any other port authority?
A recent project I can think of in the city of Sylvania was the Sisters of St. Francis used the Port Authority to finance the extension of their care facility located on their campus here in town. So there must be advantages to them. But that's been a few years ago, and they're actually talking about changing the financing now because of the rising interest rates, I think. But it does get used in the city of Sylvania and Sylvania Township. So I can't confirm the advantages that Mark talked about, but it's probably worth you or your attorney calling them up and seeing what they can do for you.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you. I think we would. Yeah, I think that would make sense. And certainly a deferral, any kind of, that would be.
The city really doesn't participate in it.
Right.
However, we will need to, as the governmental agency, approve it. And we become a part of your documents to do it, but we do not assume any financial obligation
sure.
by being a party to that.
Sure.
Right.
Is that correct, Toby?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Leslie?
Yes.
Yeah, it was told to me very clearly that if the sisters defaulted, which they'd never do, it was not the city's obligation to pay it back. We just needed to be in the chain.
No, I think that's part of the benefit. It's not... there's not risk to the city in doing this. The risk is all assumed by the Port Authority.
And,
right.
And
right.
people that buy their bonds.
Right.
So it might be that the Port wants to see some sort of support, not any kind of legal support, but just inspirational support.
I don't think that'll be any problem at all.
Yeah. As a member of council, I would say that to the degree that we have the capacity to do so, it might be helpful for the city to have a representative at one of your meetings with the Port Authority just to make sure that we hear what they say and they understand how this fits in with the city's interests, right? I mean, you certainly as a private developer have that opportunity, but it would give me some comfort if we had somebody from the city at least riding shotgun on that meeting. Your call. You're the private sector guy, right?
Yeah. I think your suggestion is very helpful, and we would welcome anybody from the city if they'd like to be there.
I'd be happy to provide you with a contact both at Lucas County and also at the Hancock County one, which is very, very active right now.
I know Bill Carroll.
Well, and he's sort of the board chair, but he doesn't do the real work, you know, as we all understand.
Thank you for that.
All right, if there's no further questions for Mr. Arnos, I believe you still want to go into executive session to discuss this proposed amendment to this sale of city property. So I will need a motion to go into executive session or committee of the whole executive session.
So moved.
I need the clerk to call the roll.
Mrs. Capalini?
Yes.
Mr. Frye?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
Yes.
Mrs. Husman?
Yes.
Mr. Lutz?
Yes.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Mrs. Westfall?
Yes.
Vote is 7-0 to go into executive session for the sole purpose of discussing the sale of real estate. I can't have you in the room, Rick.
Okay.
You can be outside in the lobby.
Would you like me to stick around for a while, or would you want to be able to call?
I think it'd be good if you could stick around, but you don't have to. We can report to you.
Do you have some timing issues?
We're going to, with city council's permission, I would like to have Mr. Moan stay in the room with us. He is our attorney. And Mr. Sanford is talking to the three Notre Dame students. None of them are related to you, I assume?
I don't think so.
Maybe
they could get the papers signed out, and then...
Okay.
They would go up, and then if it goes longer, they might have to leave.
Sounds perfect.
That sounds great. Rick, thank you. Thank you for being here.
I'll stick around.
We will come out, and when we're done, we'll come out and get you if you're still there. If not, I assume Leslie will still have your cell phone number.
You can text me.
Okay. I mean, I was thinking maybe staying until 8:30, 8:35.
Any others can sign? Yeah.
Great.
It's pretty...
Leave executive session, leave the whole, return to open session.
So moved.
I need the clerk to call the roll.
Mr. Frye?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
Yes.
Mrs. Husman?
Yes.
Mr. Lutz?
Yes.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Mrs. Westfall?
Yes.
Mrs. Capalini?
Yeah.
Vote is 7-0. We are, we'll wait to see if the Toronto's is still out there, perhaps the students. Yeah, oh, you too, Rick, I didn't pick up.
Turn the recorder back on. We have returned from executive session for the discussion of the sale of real estate. No action was taken in executive session. However, I believe there is a motion to be made or a statement to be made at this time.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move that we direct administration to revise the legislation with the purpose of granting an extension.
Second.
To be considered by council in 12 days on Monday, September 17th.
Thank you.
Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. City council had some changes they would like to make to this amendment. Our law director will contact your attorney. But city's council's intention is to grant the extension, but they are not prepared to pass it according to this proposed amendment tonight.
Okay.
That's it. So it's good news, but there's something in here they don't like.
Okay.
Two somethings.
Are you able to disclose what those are?
Wouldn't know why not.
Yeah, I can tell you publicly.
I'm aware.
Jim, do you want to talk to him? Okay. In the right to repurchase paragraph, where it says after the right to repurchase in subsection A, where you just would like to propose to put a period after the $1,032,000 and then delete the remainder of that paragraph, so it would take out the provision about all costs and expenses incurred in connection with the purchase, planning, and development of Lot 1. And then in subsection B, after...
where it says $168,000, thank you. Put a period after that and delete the remainder of that paragraph as well.
Is that applying to the...
It's the costs and expenses related to the inspection, testing, engineering, architectural, construction, and related...
If there was a repurchase?
Correct.
Right.
Was that repurchase going to be the date moved to July 19?
Yeah,
I don't think we have any problems with the dates.
Yeah. I think the right to repurchase is June 30th, 2019. I think that just wasn't changed. But yes, July.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good trip.
All right. Returning to our agenda, we are up to agenda item 7, second reading of proposed ordinance 43-2018 to enter in a cooperative agreement with Lucas County Commissioners relative to Holland-Sylvania Road resurfacing. You do not have Mr. Aller's cover sheet on this that we had 2 weeks ago. Mr. Aller, this is just a cooperative agreement to repave our portion of Holland-Sylvania is part of a county project. Is that correct?
Correct.
And our total expenditure for this is $278,176.
Correct.
As part of a million-dollar plus project? I forget what the numbers were.
$1.6 million, I believe.
Okay. And that is why city crews have been out on Holland-Sylvania rebuilding those catch basins south of the city, well, inside the city limits, south of the expressway, in anticipation of this paving project, which will take place in what year?
2019.
Okay, next year.
Next year.
All right. Administration recommends this. The motion will be to waive the third reading and to read by title only. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will now introduce a second reading of Ordinance Number 43-2018. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only, authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to enter into a joint cooperation agreement on behalf of the City of Sylvania with the Board of Lucas County Commissioners relative to the Holland-Sylvania Road resurfacing project, appropriating $278,176 for said project, waiving the third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance 43-2018 be read by title only and the third reading be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 43-2018.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 43-2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 43-2018 is approved. Agenda Item 8 is a similar issue for the repaving of Sylvania Avenue in a cooperative project with Lucas County. The city's exposure on this proposal is $82,850, and the total project is $2,718,000. So this is a great leveraging. There is quite a bit of this project in the city of Sylvania, but because we're using some, I believe it's surface transportation funds.
Correct.
The county's saving money too. This is a great deal for the city. I know this was repaved 22 years ago, and it's needed. So this is a great project, and we recommend approval of this as well. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will introduce a second reading of Ordinance Number 44-2018. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only, authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to enter into a joint cooperation agreement on behalf of the City of Sylvania with the Board of Lucas County Commissioners relative to the Sylvania Avenue resurfacing project, appropriating $82,850 for said project, waiving the third reading and declaring an emergency.
Moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 44-2018 be read by title only and the third reading be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 44-2018.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 44-2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 44-2018 is approved. Moving to agenda item 9, this is the second reading of Ordinance 45-2018. This is an annual agreement between the City of Sylvania and the Lucas County Commissioners for Suburban Court Services. Mrs. Brining, a quick explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As the mayor indicated, this is an annual agreement that we enter into to provide the victim advocate at our Sylvania Municipal Court. She's been there since 97 and does an excellent job, and I would recommend the approval of this ordinance.
Mr. Frye?
I'll make a motion to introduce the second reading of ordinance number 45, 2018. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement on behalf of the City of Sylvania between the City of Sylvania and the Board of Lucas County Commissioners for the Suburban Court Services Program, agreeing to participate in funding a portion of the local share for suburban court services, appropriating $25,000 therefore, waiving the third reading, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Moved and seconded that ordinance number 45, 2018 be read by title only and the third reading be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance 45, 2018.
Second.
And moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 45, 2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 45, 2018 is approved. Moving to agenda item 10. This is the second reading of ordinance 47, 2018 to enter into an intergovernmental cooperative agreement for a new water management facility to study the Machindo Aquifer. Again, our proportion may not exceed $35,000, and city council has previously authorized funds to study the Machindo Aquifer. What we're doing is doing this as a intergovernmental cooperative agreement. It's a pre-6119 form of agreement that was put together, so we are not individually doing this work. We are doing it as a group looking for a new water authority. I know you've heard a lot in the media about concerns in Bryan and other communities that we might draw too much water from this aquifer. That is what this study is to determine. This is to determine if we will lower the water table or and make hardship on other communities by having to drill wells deeper or dry up lakes or creeks or anything like that. There's definitely a difference of opinion going on with that. I did receive a call from the Bryan newspaper this afternoon trying to, lobbying me to make all meetings about the Machindo Aquifer public because a state senate candidate wants that to happen out there, and I said that we are still operating under the rules established by the Toledo Area Chamber of Commerce and would take a vote of the group to change those rules. I also told them that this city council was considering tonight, and after I said that, I bit my tongue and thought, oh my gosh, are we going to have those people come out and pick at us? But they did not show up. Pretty short notice. It is not any of our intentions, Maumee, Perrysburg, Wood County, Sylvania, Monroe County, anybody, to damage other communities' water sources, but we are being led to believe that we will not damage it at all, and we need to find out the facts, and that's what this is about. I would never authorize spending $100 million to extend pipelines out towards the aquifer only to be told that, well, they're only good for 10 years. After that, there's no water left. We're not going to do that. So I encourage you to do this. This is one of several options we have. Getting a contract with the City of Toledo is definitely a possibility. They just aren't sending us what the contract is. We have no idea what the terms are. We're talking to the Great Lakes Water Authority. They want to sell us water. The City of Monroe wants to sell us water. And don't forget, we still have the option, the only option we were looking at 2 years ago, which is to build our own water system. And that is still one of the best solutions because then we would have redundancy for the Toledo area based on our intake and Toledo's intake. In fact, it was supposed to be that the Water Authority would take over both, and that would be the redundant water source, and that has been blown up by the City of Toledo. They do not believe in sharing or regional cooperation, only regional dictatorships.
Am I right, Mayor, that there will be some issue related to water on the ballot in November?
Toledo has passed this charter change, which allows them to establish this committee, as if that's the same as our TAWA, or Regional Water Authority. It is not at all. They retain all rights to set rates and to govern the system as they see fit. we've actually had a regional water committee for a couple of years. They don't care what the committee has to say.
So their ballot language goes into that level of detail in describing what the...
I have not read their ballot language, but that's what it's been explained to me by Toledo representatives.
So that's a single-purpose piece of...
It is to allow them to establish this commission, but it also sets out the rules how to override the commission. And I'm being told, oh, city council would never override the commission. I'm sorry.
I say, huh. You know, this is as simple as, you know, they'll be a supplier, we're a purchaser, we'll see what deal we get.
And in 20 years or whatever, right, we're waiting for their offer. They haven't made it yet.
Right.
And oh, by the way, what happens at the end of this contract?
Yeah.
If we sign a new contract, what happens?
I mean, ideally, we're going to get a new contract somewhere way before this contract expires. I hope, you know.
By the end of the year.
Hope by the end of the year, we're negotiating with the Great Lakes Water Authority to buy their water and bring it down here, and we can get rid of the city.
That could put us in a very good position, having two people that want to sell us water. Okay, who's better today, or who's better next year, or whatever.
And we will write a contract that we will never be looking down the barrel of a gun again, ever.
We hope to be able to do that. That's what we're working for, yes. And the Machindo Aquifer, actually, if it works out, we will be owners of that system along with the other communities. That's the best position we could be in, other than what we spent 2 years negotiating with the city of Toledo, and then they decided, no, we didn't mean it. No, too bad.
Yeah. Clearly, the city of Toledo doesn't want to be our partner, but I'd be, you know, might be willing to be our supplier. So
that's correct. They absolutely want to sell us water, no doubt about that. All right, so
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
I have a direct conflict based on contracts for a personal business, so I need to push back from the table.
I need a motion to allow Mr. Fry to
so
push
moved.
Back.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries, and let the record show Mr. Fry is pushed back from the table due to a conflict of interest. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce the second reading of Ordinance Number 47-2018. All members of council, having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an intergovernmental cooperative agreement for a new water management facility, waiving the third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 47-2018 be read by title only and the third reading be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of Ordinance Number 47-2018.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 47-2018 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries, and Ordinance 47-2018 is approved. Thank you. I'm sorry. And Mr. Fry, let the record show that Mr. Fry can return to the table. The conflict of interest over the water issue is done.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
For this meeting. Moving on to agenda item 11, we have proposed ordinance 48-2018. The city has received an offer to purchase property at the northwest corners of Main and Erie Street. I have mixed feelings about this. However, this is council's decision. We have tried to put on requirements on the property so that it could never be used to store boats, campers, old cars, build a tin shed there, do anything that would be unsightly at that corner without it being screened. And I don't think that's an issue with this purchaser, but we've put it into the title record by the purchase agreement. The city has no use for this property. We did buy it after the old house burned down. We took some of the property to widen the radius coming south on Main Street and turning west on Erie Street. And we do have a continuing expense to maintain the property. You have any idea what that cost us, Mr. Aller?
Probably through the course of the summer, probably a couple thousand a year.
A couple thousand? Wow.
What do we do, cut grass?
Cut grass, there's some plantings in there that we have to
I would have to shovel the snow, too.
We have to shovel the snow because we own the lot.
I don't know. know, maybe I can get a subcontract to do that.
Yeah. I know a 14-year-old.
So that's why the administration has bought this, brought this to you. However, we bought this property for $12,000.
Yeah. Could I ask a question? I had not seen this until this afternoon, and I apologize if we've been briefed before that, but I guess I am a little concerned about this in the light of our ongoing discussions about developing downtown. This is at the far north end of the second block of Main Street, and I understand it's probably zoned residential, but on the other hand, it's sort of the front door to our downtown.
It's also a nearly unbuildable lot.
I understand that.
Okay.
But I also understand that if we sell it to this private owner, he could put up a fence, he could fence it off, he could create a less than welcoming environment to what I consider to be aesthetically important to downtown. I have heard regularly from the business owners in that second block that the city doesn't do enough to draw attention to the people north of Maplewood. Okay, I don't know if that's legitimate or not, but I think that the next developable area in our downtown is going to be in that area, and so I minimally, I would have hoped that we would have done some sort of an analysis of what it could be used for. I mean, a little pocket park. Clearly, the park in downtown Sylvania has been extremely popular. So to create some landscaping there to make it worth spending $12,000 a year to maintain would be, in my mind, would be far more preferable than without at least doing an analysis, turning it over to a private owner. So I'm not for this unless you can convince me that this is in the best interest of our community.
Can I ask a question? Is he the neighbor on the property?
He is the owner to the west, I believe. Is that correct?
But he's the person that just moved in.
Correct. It's not Larry.
Is it? He wouldn't be, was he thinking of putting up a fence? Because it's very weird that you say this. I drove by there tonight just to see what it looked like, and the guy looked like he was stacking up fencing on the side of his house. Could that possibly be true?
I'm not aware of that. I put the screening requirement in it. City Council may remember we had a camper out on Erie Street past Centennial.
Oh, yeah.
We fought for a year to get it cleaned
up. I know. Well, okay. I guess council can do what it wants to do. I think we're ill-advised to do this unless we think that this is absolutely the last resort for this property.
I apologize. I kind of expected to hear you guys say that this is a good deal for us, and I didn't get a chance to actually go look at this today. I ran out of time. I'm sure I have driven by it, and when I drive by
it's
but,
nice.
You know what?
As a mobile,
I'd like to do nothing. Nice. Yeah. I'd like to do nothing with this tonight. Right. I table it until our next meeting. So I'm going to move to table ordinance number 48, 2018, until our next meeting.
Could I, you know, what about if we would assign it to a committee, and so somebody's responsible for taking a look at it and coming back and making a recommendation? And of course, I think what economic development.
Be careful what you ask for. Right?
Building and grounds. Building and grounds.
Buildings and grounds could be.
This is definitely grounds.
Yeah, that's grounds.
Would you ever consider
selling, like, a piece of it? Like, because it is kind of. There's metal. Well, he's got, like, a driveway. And I don't think there's a yard, but, like, if you could have fenced around the whole thing, it would not be good.
But if he just needed a little bit more for a fence, I don't think that. Well, you know, I think looking at not selling it for a reason is maybe the wrong way to look at it. I'd like to have a little discussion about what it could become. All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
I hate to lose control of the property.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we are facing a budget crisis that we're going to talk about.
Okay, but $2,000 is not going to fix
that. No, it isn't.
All right.
But $2,000 here and there is the problem.
Yeah. And part of the a way to adjust, to deal with that is on the revenue side, right, which is to attract more businesses into that neighborhood. And I think this is the kind of discussion, Mayor, that we should have before we approve this thing.
I don't disagree with you at all.
So I would support Doug's notion of tabling it until we can have a discussion.
I like Mary's idea.
Which is what?
Let's have Sandy fix this.
Well, that's fine. We can have the playground committee.
So I'll make a motion that we move this issue to buildings and grounds for further consideration.
Can I add one more question? Did he come to us, or did he go to him?
He came to us.
He came to us.
Can I add, I don't know, for full disclosure,
I have some connection to this personally, because I had I put an offer on the blue house in the corner there. I did not get it, but when the seller was selling it and I went and toured it, he said that that corner lot was coming with the house. And that's when I started to ask questions of the administration, because I knew the city still owned it, so in my mind, he was trying to sell property he didn't own. And then it turns out that he sold it to somebody else and pretty much just told them, you can buy this from the city now because he's out of it.
Until city council votes to sell it, there is no obligation to sell.
Correct. Yeah, that's, but just, I don't know if I needed to close that.
However,
I mean, I
you
had,
might want to push away from the table on this then.
That's what I was going to ask for a recommendation on, Adam. I don't know.
I just would on general principles, since you put an offer on property.
Yeah.
Competitive. Buyer, maybe. You may not be.
Well, it's not anymore. But yes.
That happened. That's done. I don't think there's. You don't have a comment.
Mr. Sanford.
I just want to confirm what Patrick was saying, that the John Filippo bought the house and renovated it. He was the one that made the first contact about what was the property available. So we started talking to him. Patrick's correct that the deal wasn't finalized by the time he had a buyer for the property, so he just sold the property, and then when the new owner took possession, that's when the new owner approached us.
There is a motion on the table. Was that seconded? Was
second.
Mrs. Westfall's?
To refer it to committee.
It is to table it tonight and refer it to the Building and Grounds Committee for further study. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
I'd really like to say no, just for the heck of it.
This is a democracy.
Okay, the motion passes, and it is officially referred to Building and Grounds. You can set a meeting tonight or at a future time if you'd like. I am ready to move on to agenda item 12. I was approached by Andy Erbskorn, representing the Historic Village Board, with a request to honor Joy and Army Armstrong for their visionary and instrumental work in establishing the historic museum and village, and naming the barn, the blacksmith barn there, the Armstrong Barn. And the intent will be to put a sign up above the door like you see on old barns that says Armstrong on it. Not Armstrong Barn, just Armstrong. And, you know, at the time when that barn was built, they were instrumental in the design of it. They were instrumental in the whole village. And I think this is an appropriate honor. The Armstrongs are aware of it. I approached them with the idea, and they are honored by the suggestion. I don't know if I've characterized everything correct, Sandy, but
I think you did. I just want, this was a board decision of the Savannah Historical Village, Inc., and we agreed that we wanted this done, and and we know previously the Armstrongs have kind of been pushed back as far as any recognition of any sort. So Andy suggested that maybe the mayor could approach them, and he did so, and they have agreed, which makes us happy. And I think it will look just like the barns that when you drive down the highway, you see the barn that says whatever, and this will say Armstrong. So I don't think it will be at all distracting to the purpose of the village and the blacksmithing barn. The board is unanimously in favor of it.
And legislation?
The law director says we do not need legislation, we just need a motion to name the blacksmith barn as Armstrong Barn.
Just Armstrong is what it will say.
The sign will say Armstrong.
Right.
But it's the Armstrong Barn, yeah.
Are you going to make that motion?
I can make that motion.
I'm happy to second.
I don't have to push back?
No.
Okay. Yes, I would like to make a motion that we give permission to the Historical Village, Sylvania Historical Village, Inc., to name the blacksmith barn in honor of Joy and Army Armstrong, and name it Armstrong Barn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and it's my understanding that there will be a ceremony during the Fall Festival weekday to do this.
Yes, that's the plan.
Very good. Moving on to agenda item 13, committee reports. Mr. Fry, safety committee report from this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The safety committee, since all of you were here, know all this, met earlier this evening. The meeting was called to order at 6:45. For the purpose of the discussion on a designated outdoor refreshment area, or DORA. All members of the committee and council were in attendance. Mrs. Branding, Mr. Sanford, Chief Rodas, Mayor Stow, Mr. Aller were also in attendance. Had many people from the general public during the meeting. We heard from from Sodbusters Inside the Five, the Executive Diner, and J&G's regarding their support for a DORA that would encompass their properties and their businesses. There was a lot of discussion from council members regarding the DORA. Most council members were supportive of the concept, but had comments and questions regarding logistics, hours of operation, how it would be enforced by the business owners for the and the city. Mr. Lukey suggested that rather than attempt to figure all that stuff out through a series of safety committee meetings, and certainly this evening, that an ad hoc committee be created that would represent the council, members of the administrative staff, members of the community, and for those people that would potentially participate as business owners. In that regard, yeah, and neighbors. In that regard, Mr. Lukey made a motion to create an ad hoc DORA committee comprised of two members of City Council, members of the administration, including Mr. Sanford and Mrs. Branning, one representative of the liquor permit holders, one other downtown business, and a neighbor to the potential DORA. That motion from Mr. Lukey was seconded and passed by members of the committee. Who made the second on that? I don't remember. I didn't write that down.
Me.
Was that you, Doug?
No.
Okay. I think it was you, Doug. Thank you. I was typing as I was going through this. I apologize. Motion was approved by members of the safety committee, and basically that needs to be brought before City Council now. Is that correct, Mr. Mayor?
It is. You need to pass the motion now to create that ad hoc committee.
So I'll make a motion to create an ad hoc committee of council for the investigation of a designated outdoor refreshment area, which is comprised of two members of City Council, members of the administration, including Mr. Sanford and Mrs. Branning, one representative of the liquor permit holders, one other downtown business, and a neighbor to the potential DORA.
Second.
Can I have a question on that clarification?
Absolutely.
Who's going to decide who's on the committee? How does that work? The two members of council?
Good question. My recommendation that you have one that wants it all the time and one that doesn't want it all the time. But maybe the president of council, that's the president of council's authority usually to appoint those people. It's not mine. But in all fairness, you should have both points of view represented on the committee.
Good idea. I trust Mayor to get this right.
I was pleased that nobody on City Council said, no way, over my dead body, we're not going to have a DORA. So
do
look at it positively.
Mr. Mayor, do we need to make that decision in any kind of a public forum, or can we just have a conversation offline and let you know?
I think you can, and you also need to pick which of the permit holders downtown. I wouldn't object to having two of them on the committee, one or two, couple of business owners downtown, and I think the neighbor, I don't know how you pick the neighbor. That's Mr. Sanford.
Just a suggestion, one of the gentlemen here tonight was Brian Keiser, and he's very involved in downtown activities, and he lives right on Main Street, just past.
You know, though, he's very involved, and that's my concern, is I would be hoping for somebody who just lives in the neighborhood, who maybe is active in the community in a different way. You know, either a retired couple, who, there's a lot of those to the east of there, and or maybe a young family. Somebody, you know, walks the dogs and pushes a stroller around that neighborhood every couple of
nights. I think those are good suggestions, and I think the president of council is going to need to take that into account. And accept, not speaking agree, but we'll accept council's recommendations.
And I would also help remind everyone that this is something that will come before a public hearing. Everyone will have an opportunity for public input, and meetings will be posted, and other people can listen in if they choose to.
I would expect that this will go through several steps. We'll propose this, we'll hear comments, change it, propose it again, change it, finally find your one that you can vote on publicly. Okay. There's a motion on the field, on the floor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for any further report on the safety committee.
No, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Any other committees have business to report at this time? Mrs. Hussman.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would like to schedule a building and grounds committee meeting to discuss the property at 6606 Erie Street. And I would suggest before the next council meeting on the 17th. If that works for Katie Patrick and Mark Fry.
Yeah, works for me.
Okay. I have no idea. I wouldn't even what we're going to gather as far as information for that meeting.
Well, I'd be happy to join you for that meeting and give you my input.
Well, that would be very nice.
Just in case, you know, if you're looking for something to kill a half an hour.
Yes. Well, that's what I was thinking. A half hour should be enough, don't you think?
But it would be nice to have a map.
A map.
Pictures worth a thousand words.
Okay.
Means to understand exactly where the limits of the parcel are at. And driving past, it's great.
Service department can provide that.
But a map would be great.
Can you help with that?
A plot plan.
Okay.
An aerial lamp or something.
Be able to commiserate with my colleague Katie to talk a little bit about some of the what could happen there if we put a bunch of guys. Well, okay, I heard you say that. That's fine.
Okay, so we'll make it at 7 o'clock then? On September 17th. Thank you.
Any further committee reports or committee referrals? Hearing none, we are down to our information items, and my two items that I want to talk to you about are, for your information, our income tax receipts through the month of August are down about 4%, and I anticipate them to go down more because we have lost about 500 ProMedica jobs out of town, and we probably lost another 100 or so jobs from Directions Credit Union, and the deficit has been going up each month as we've gone through the year. I did talk to Randy Oster about it today at the Chamber of Commerce meeting, and he's obviously a very intelligent man, and he immediately asked me, well, didn't you see a bump when we opened the Health and Wellness Center, which I told him we're very happy to have it here, and he's right, we did. That was 2 years ago. And pretty level last year, and now it's going back down, and I suppose we ought to take a look at the graph going up. But if we are down 5-6% or so by the end of the year, this will be a very difficult budgeting year. City Council will have to make some very difficult decisions. The administration will have to recommend those difficult decisions. And they can be raising more revenue or cutting expenses. But I can tell you, we have already been through several rounds of cutting expenses in this city. There are a lot fewer employees in this city than when I took office in 1996. And the police chief will not absorb another loss without a fight, I can tell you that. So we've got some tough ways to go. You need to be thinking about that. The budgeting process for the administration has begun. The budgeting sheets have gone up. Mrs. Westfall has a proposed schedule from Toby for committee meetings to start, and I believe that starts probably in October, Toby?
Towards the middle of October.
Yep. And also be aware that this is a contract negotiation year. We will be negotiating labor contracts with our unions between, well, starting now, hopefully complete by the end of the year. But that's another increase that's coming.
We will also have the future year projections as well, right?
The labor contract.
No, I mean in terms of our budgeting process.
Oh, sure, sure we will. We do that every time. We also have the capital improvements looking out 5 years as well.
Okay.
There's a lot of relief valves we can look at there. We also have a list from 2 years ago of ways to raise revenues. But this fall off is more than I had thought we'd see, and I'm Directions Credit Union, we made overtures for them to stay in town, and we just couldn't get them here. Barry was down there. He was on the television. They got their sign up on the sign of the Maumee office building downtown, so you can see it from Fifth Third Field tonight. They're playing baseball down there right now. But they're downtown. So that was informational item A. No action to be taken at this time. B is to announce to you there will be a 9/11 ceremony Tuesday morning, September 11th, at Toledo Memorial Park's First Responder Memorial. That's in the northeast corner of Toledo Memorial Park. Toledo Memorial Park is hosting it, but has requested for me to serve as the master of ceremonies at that ceremony. We do have Northview Band will be there. And we do have representatives, of course, of the two police departments and the fire departments there. We hope to have some veterans there. It'll be a similar program to previous years. I did make a commitment starting clear back in 2002 that we would continue to have these programs as long as we have members of the military in the Middle East and that conflict is not resolved. And I'm going to live up to that. That's why there's a American flag in my lapel. I also resolved to leave that in my lapel until this conflict was done as well. Looked like we were about out of it 2 or 3 years ago. We are not. So we'll have that ceremony if you can attend. I'm sure that it would be appreciated. It will be brief. Those are my two information items. If there's no further business, is there a Mrs. Westfall?
I would like to just make sure that people are aware. I think they've done a beautiful job of communicating about that the library is opening this Friday, and the festivities begin at 4:30, and I think formal program at 5:30. But I just thought it would be wonderful if we had a nice showing from council. It looks like it's going to be a fabulous venue and another beautiful element to add to our community and the wonderful quality of life that we have here.
And as part of that, there will be a march parade east on Monroe Street, the main street, to the First Friday Redbird Art Night. That's all been coordinated between the library and the Redbird people, and will be a very nice event for the evening. And the weather forecast is excellent. Sandy.
I cheated and went last night because, yes, I know. And you have a treat in store for you, I'll say that. We're going to not be available Friday night, so
it is,
I couldn't
resist.
Open. It is open.
A lot of people, I can't believe how busy it is for not being officially reopened. The conference rooms, the study rooms are busy in there.
It's beautiful.
You know, and I will tell you that as a regular at the King Road branch, there's a pent-up demand among a certain demographic to get back to this library, you know.
This?
Some people like it to be a little less flashy, you know, more.
This is a much more intimate library than the King Road Library. And at least before the King Road Library was built and this one was shut down for a year, Sylvania Library is the busiest in the Toledo, Lucas County Library System in terms of books being checked out and reference inquiries being made. And I suspect that it'll return to that pretty quickly, even with the King Road branch open. All right, is there any further items? Is there a motion to adjourn? Been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting on Monday, September 17th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you, ladies, for staying.